Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Welcome to the Todd Starn Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, I am Mary Walter, sitting in for Todd Starnes. How are you? Welcome to the show at the Liberty University studios. It is great to have you here. Love to have you join me. Okay, coming up next hour, we're going to be joined by Jake Novak. He is a political and economic analyst. He's a Substack writer, a podcaster. He's got all going on. We're going to talk about Biden's latest cash giveaway of your money, because he doesn't give away his own money. He gives away your money. Trump's announcement on abortion, the 2024 election. So we're going to get into some news things with him. And the last hour of the show, Michael McCormick joins us. Michael McCormick is Joe Biden's former White House stenographer, which I never knew they had stenographers. But yeah, this is a guy who would be with Joe Biden all the time. And it was his job to write down everything that's said in these conversations and then transcribe them. Yeah, this is what Michael McCormick did. And he wrote a book, The Case to Impeach and Imprison Joe Biden. And he's seen a lot of stuff. And so we're going to get into it. I'm more fascinated by the fact that the White House still uses stenographers. And also, Liz Peek will be joining us, Fox News contributor, columnist for Fox News and The Hill, the Biden administration's policies, their effect on us, the little people. Yes, and she also has a column out as well on Joe Biden and talking about, what is it? Hold on. Oh. Yeah, Biden's strategy to maintain the White House. It's very interesting. And honestly, I think if Republicans would just pay attention and be proactive instead of reactive, they would see what's going on in front of them, because the rest of us can see it. And Liz lays it out beautifully. So we'll talk to her about that. So some great guests coming up. And of course, you can be my guest. I love when you join me. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. KWAM. And you can also reach out to me on X at Mary Walter Radio. Tonight, my podcast starts at 7:15 Eastern Time. It is live on YouTube and on Getter. My guest is Bobby Barak from OutKick, so he'll be joining me. And the audio will be available on Apple Podcasts and Spotify after about an hour or so, maybe later, after the podcast, depending on when I get it together and get it up there. But you can always go to YouTube, just look for Mary Walter Radio. Click on the live tab for all of the videos. You can see all the guests, and please like them. If you watch a video, please like it, because otherwise, if you watch it and don't like it, it kind of messes up the algorithm for me. So I'd appreciate that. Please don't mess up my algorithm. Okay, so yesterday was the eclipse. I'm on the East Coast. So Tuesday of last week, a week ago today, we had this crazy storm. We had a nor'easter. Tuesday night, we had 50 mile an hour winds, electricity up trees in the street. It was flooding everywhere. Crazy. It was a really... we have a lot of nor'easters, but a nor'easter is like a hurricane, but the winds don't meet the hurricane strength for it. To best sum it up. So it's like a mini one. And you get them a lot on the East Coast, New England, and the northern mid-Atlantic states. We get them a lot. So this crazy nor'easter Tuesday. Friday, we had the earthquake. My very first earthquake. I was just talking to Dylan about it off the air. He's like, what's it like? It's like, it's really weird. I've never been in an earthquake before. So you really don't have time and it lasts to process it. It lasted, they said it lasted 39 seconds because apparently earthquakes on the East Coast are so different from earthquakes on the West Coast about what makes them happen that they last longer on the East Coast. So it's like, yay. But they're not as far down in the earth's crust. But anyway, they're different. So it lasted, they said, for 39 seconds. And it takes a while for your brain to process it if you've never been in one before. So I wasn't scared or anything. I was like, I was more like, what the heck is happening? Because I'm on the air. Thank goodness we were in a break. But I was working with this station in New York, so they had the same thing, and it was very weird. That's all I can tell you. Is it wasn't scary, but it is kind of weird to look around when you suddenly realize, oh, that's not a truck on there. And earthquakes make noise. I had no idea earthquakes make noise, so I learned that, and it's loud and it gets louder. You hear it, and it just gets louder and louder, you realize what it is and you look around the room and you're like, okay, this isn't a truck on the road or a tank coming down my street because the whole room is moving right now. It's like so weird. Anyway, and then of course we had the eclipse yesterday, and there's something else getting ready to come. So let's do the eclipse first. Let's talk about that. Because there's just some sublimely dumb takes on the eclipse. But I want to start off, cut one. This is Donald Trump's take on the eclipse.
Sloppy Chris Christie is back. He is hungry and he is causing a complete and total solar eclipse. He's back and he's crossing in front of the sun. Usually the moon causes eclipses, but today an entire planet is crossing in front of the sun, known as Sloppy Chris Christie. I call him a gas giant. He's a gas giant. And he's going to leave a shadow bigger than anybody's ever seen before. Right behind him is going to be huge. Remember, if you're watching the eclipse, only to observe Sloppy Chris Christie if you're wearing your beautiful glasses. It's not safe to look at Sloppy Chris without your glasses. It can cause permanent damage. He's, as I call him, rough on the eyes, very rough on the eyes. And don't get too close because he's known to have what's called a gravitational pull. I saw it happen once. Somebody threw a tomato at him, and it's still going around in his orbit today. Last week, we saw a groundbreaking performance in New York City. Lizzo caused an earthquake, and today we're watching Sloppy Chris Christie cause a total eclipse. So be safe, God bless you, and God bless America, believe me.
Oh, Sean Parrish, you are so good. Thank goodness. You know, Sean Parrish not only is blessed with the voice to be able to do that and the ability to be able to channel Trump and just nail it perfectly, he has this sense of humor to be funny with it. Like, he's got a golden combination. He's very gifted by God, and I hope he appreciates that. But that, to me, we had to go to the accountant last night to do our taxes. So while sitting there waiting for, you know, the hangman, who was an hour behind, we sat there and I came across that, and at least it made us laugh. So that was good. So thank you, Sean, for that. It made me laugh. So Sunny Host on The View, which the Yapping Yentas, it's the dumbest show on television. It really could be the dumbest show on TV. They know nothing. Absolutely nothing. How ABC airs this day after day is absolutely a mystery to me. I remember when Barbara Walters had started this, and it actually, I thought it was a great idea. I thought it was so brilliant. It was needed. You have to end these women. We're going to talk about news, but they were also going to give their opinion on the news. They're going to talk about it, and they were going to give their point of view. That's what it was about. And Barbara Walters, you know, because she was a newswoman, and she came from a time when we had journalists and news, and there was a line between news and opinion. She could hold that show together. Without her, it's like five toddlers in a room with nothing but candy and puppies. It's a disaster. It's all over the place. So Sunny Hostin, who is, I'm sorry, a racist in my humble opinion, and just she's very confident for someone who's so wrong so frequently. and being wrong all the so frequently does not deter her from continuing to be ignorant. It's not like she goes and reads up on something. It's not like she expands her news sources. It's not like she preps before the show, because I'm pretty sure none of them prep before the show. I'm pretty sure they just go off their feelings and they just express their feelings as facts, and off we go. So, all right, let's do this. Let's go to cut two.
So what's kind of crazy is with the earthquake on Friday and then the eclipse today, people are having all sorts of conspiracies about the end of the world. And then I read online that the earthquake epicenter was actually at Bedminster in New Jersey.
Right.
Fun fact. So it originated with Trump.
I know, right? I mean, I have to say, Karen DuPeach, our wonderful makeup artist, when the earthquake was happening, she put her coat on and she was like, Jesus is coming.
I'm out.
I'm leaving. We've got a solar eclipse. She ran down the hallway.
The rapture is here.
The rapture's here. And then also, I learned that the cicadas are coming.
Cicadas.
Although I love for the first time in
cicada,
like
two different kinds of cicadas
are coming.
The good cicadas and the bad cicadas.
But for the first time in many, many years.
No, every 17 years this happens.
Well, that's not what I read, but maybe, you know better.
But in a way,
all those things together would maybe lead one to believe that, you know, either climate change exists,
that's more
or something
point.
Is really
except
going
Earth is returning.
Earthquakes are not at the mercy of climate change. It's underground.
It happens.
And the
eclipse, they've known about the eclipse coming because eclipses happen, and they actually can say when these things are going to happen. So all these folks who are saying, you know, it's a sign from God. God doesn't give you warning. Okay? You think he gave people at the Tower of Babel warning? Oh, I'm about to jack y'all up? No. God does stuff, and then you figure, oh, that's probably because I just, You know, I mean, it's no. But the cicadas come. We have them every 17 years. There's some we get every 20-some-odd years. And they just go under, and they come back up. And now there's two. They make noise and they have sex.
Dylan, what did you think of that analysis by the Yentas of The View?
I think they should have a podcast and not be on TV.
Here's the thing, though. We'd still know about it because they say such supremely stupid stuff. That we'd still, if this were a podcast, we would have been playing it because it's so supremely stupid.
Uh-huh. They did not do their notes.
There's no show prep going on whatsoever. They have no clue. Joy Behar's analysis of the earthquake. Well, no, it happens in the ground. It happens under the ground. Well, thank you for clearing that up. It happens under the ground. You know, the earth gods are angry and they're bowling, whatever, you know, her weird thing was. Now, Whoopi Goldberg weighing in with the different kinds of cicadas, which is true. There's two different types of cicadas. She was off on some of the years, but did you notice that Sunny was having none of it? She was going to plow through with like, well, okay, Whoopi, but I read, and she was just plowing through in her effort to just be wrong. She was not going to let anyone dissuade her from being wrong. She just kept going. And then Whoopi Goldberg, God doesn't give warnings. I'm like, wait, what? What about wasn't there the seven plagues with to Pharaoh to let my people go with Moses, right? Like, wasn't there like the frogs and the firstborn and the water turning? Remember all that? Didn't he say he was going to give the seven plagues to Egypt? Those were warnings. He told Noah, if people don't shape up, I'm flooding the joint. So God gives warnings. Now, I'm Catholic, so we're not these people who go around quoting Bible verses and stuff like that, because it's not our jam. But from what I know, God gives warnings. So Whoopi there, I was just like, Whoopi, you're doing so well. And then boom, you went out. There you go. Off to the races there. She went off the rails. So I just thought it was hilarious. But when you get the other Yentas on the show to criticize you for your stupidity, Hostin's really in trouble. She's really in trouble. So I had to share that with you and their analysis of the eclipse, earthquake, and the cicadas. I'm surprised none of them are science teachers. Very quickly, though, I will just like give you a little bit about the cicadas. It's because, yay, that's next. And then I'm sure there'll be another plague in the fall just before the election. We'll have the election flu. And this is just going to be our life from here on in. We could be in the end times and we just haven't figured it out yet. It's like the earthquake. Like I was in the earthquake. I wasn't sure it was an earthquake. I wasn't sure what was happening. And it wasn't until after it was over that I was like, oh, that was an earthquake. Okay. Right? So that could be, we could be in the end times. I don't know. It's kind of feeling like it. All right. I'll get your calls coming up. 901-260-5926. 901-260-KWAM or reach out to me at Mary Walter Radio on X. Cicadas next on the Todd Starnes Show.
Hi, this is Todd Starnes, and I want to update you on my Calitrin journey. I'm still losing weight. I'm also sleeping a lot better, and I've got a lot more energy. Calitrin really is about more than just weight loss. Here's my good friend Elizabeth from Calitrin.
Yes, y'all. Calitrin is different than every other weight loss product out there. It's actually good for you. And I hear from customers every day, they feel like their old selves again. And that's exactly how Calitrin works. It rebuilds lean muscle tissue. It revs up your metabolism. You've got that natural energy. You feel like your old self again. It's even good for joints, so you are able to move more, exercise more, and overall, it's just good for you. Now, 1 month is not going to do a whole lot. You are going to notice those side benefits, but it does take time for it to get into your system and work. So our 90-day supply is where our huge 86% success rate is. Check it out today on our website, toploss.com. That's TOPLOSS.com.
And be sure to use that discount code, Todd.
I'm Mary Walter in for Todd Starnes at the Liberty University Studios. You can join me at 901-260-5926, 901-260-KWAM, or reach out to me on X at Mary Walter Radio. So quickly, I want to get into the cicadas. We have so much news to get to, and I have a question I want to ask you. So this spring, we'll see the biggest cicada emergence since the 1800s. Okay. We putting this all together. We had the really bad nor'easter, but there's been tornadoes around the country. That happens. It's this time of year. I get it. And then we had the earthquake. And then we had the eclipse. And now we're going to have the cicadas. And we write it off. Like, now, if this were olden times, like the eclipse, how was that for you guys, Dylan? That, you guys are closer to the path of where it went. Were you totally in darkness?
So here in Memphis, Tennessee, we weren't totally dark, but it was very dark. I just thought it was about to start storming on us, and I had to stay inside, sadly. But me and Lydia took turns going outside and hurting our eyes, basically, because we didn't have any glasses. But
nice.
Over in Arkansas, it got completely dark.
Yeah.
So it was awesome.
I saw that. So I'm watching it because we were farther outside of the path than you. But when they said we were still going to get like 90% coverage. Okay, great. I'll take it. 90% coverage. This is going to be fantastic. So I've got my glasses and, you know, you take my dad when I was a kid would take pieces of negatives, you know, from the film, from the old cameras where you would have to take them to get developed, and you'd have the negatives and you'd have copies made from the negatives. At the end of the roll, there'd always be like one picture and then about 2 inches of nothing, but it was still developed, so it was dark. So he would take like four or five of those and he'd clip them together and you could look through those with sunglasses at the eclipse and you wouldn't blind yourself. So I had those on my phone's camera so I wouldn't screw up my phone's camera with the bright light. Trying to take pictures, but that was the only way I could see the moon coming over the sun. If I looked at it without that, like with just the glasses, you couldn't see. So I had to use that. If you're just walking down the street, I wouldn't have known anything was happening. It was like, I thought it was going to get dark. It was going to be like, this is going to be big. This is going to be great. So I think back in the day, when you didn't know it was coming and you had no idea what was happening, that was probably far more exciting, probably petrifying, but it was probably far more exciting than yesterday. Because I was so disappointed. It's like, it's not even like, does it just looks normal out? I mean, like maybe a little cloudy day. That's what it looked like. I was highly disappointed. So, you know, maybe the cicadas will be better for me. In 2021, 1.5 million cicadas per acre emerged in the eastern U.S. It was more down, it was towards Virginia and that area. But they're coming back. Both of them at the same time. Yay. We're going to get it. All right. I've got some news coming up for you on the Todd Starn Show and a question for you as well. I'm Mary Walter.
You might have heard Mike Lindell of MyPillow no longer have the support of their box stores or shopping channels the way they used to. They've been part of the cancel culture, so they want to pass the savings directly to you by having a $25 extravaganza. When Mike started MyPillow, it was just a one-product company. With the help of his dedicated employees, they now have hundreds of products, some you may not even know about. To get the word out, I want to invite my listeners to check out their $25 extravaganza. Two-pack multi-use MyPillows, just $25. MyPillow sandals, $25. Their six-pack towel sets, $25. Brand-new four-pack dish towels, you guessed it, just $25. And for the first time ever, the premium MyPillows with all-new Giza fabric, just $25. Orders over $75 will receive free shipping, too. This amazing offer won't last long, so go to MyPillow.com and use the promo code STARNS or call 1-800-839-8506 today. That's promo code STARNS.
Hey, welcome back to the Todd Starn Show. I'm Mary Walter in the Liberty University studios. And Dylan and I have been doing a deep dive into cicadas. They're dinosaurs. Some of them date back to the Triassic period. So we're hanging out with the dinosaurs. I find it fascinating. And we were just wondering if they survived because maybe they were underground when the comet hit. So they didn't have all that fallout and all that stuff that killed the dinosaurs. So maybe that's why they survived. Interesting. Just a fun fact, if you're in the Midwest, that's where you're going to have this rare convergence of two broods of cicadas. One spends, there are seven species. Three spend 17 years underground. The rest spend 13. This spring, though, it will synchronize. This has not been, it's called a double brood emergence, has not been seen since 1803 and will not happen again for 221 years, which in my book is just A-OK. Because cicadas, if you've ever been like where they're flying around, like I remember when I was a kid, they're flying all over and you don't want to go outside because they're like hitting the car and they buzz into your body and you're like, ah! And then afterwards, like all their little crunchy bodies are on the ground. It's disgusting. It's just absolutely it's disgusting. But they say there will be more than a trillion cicadas out and about across the Midwest, centered around northern Illinois. They only live for a few weeks, and then after that, you've got, you know, the exoskeletons and all that stuff left around. So, but that feeds into, you know, the circle of life, you know, because there are some animals that eat them, and they surround the, they aerate the soil and fertilize the soil, and so they're critical to the ecosystem. And I remember the last one time around when I was in Washington, D.C., because it was down in that area, all these chefs were coming out with recipes for cicadas. I'm like, no, I wouldn't eat that, right? Ew. All right. Speaking of eating, Redfin, which is a homeowner and renter website, like a Zillow, that type of thing. If you're looking for a house, you go to Redfin. They did a survey, they found that nearly one in five homeowners and renters reported skipping meals to afford housing. Mm-hmm. Because if you got to choose between food and a roof over your head, I think most people would choose a roof over their head, figuring they can score food somewhere. Even if it's at a shelter somewhere, you can score food at like a soup kitchen or something if you have to, but you can cut back on food. Most of us can afford to lose a few pounds, right? The median asking rental price increased from less than $1,700 when Biden took office in January of 2021 to nearly $2,000 as of February. That extra $300 a month is a lot. That's a lot. 20.7% reported working more hours. 20.6% said they have sold belongings to pay the bills. More than one in six have dipped into their retirement savings, and 15.5% reported that they put off medical care to afford their housing payments. As of February, the median household earned $30,000 less than it would need to afford the median home in the United States, according to Redfin. When Biden took office, the median household earned thousands more than would be required to afford the median home. That there, kids, is Bidenomics. That is Bidenflation. Even though they keep telling us that the economy is getting better, I don't think people feel it, especially if you're renting or, you know, trying to make your payments just to keep the roof over your head and everything's more expensive, especially renters. You don't feel it. I'm curious if you've been cutting back in order to pay the bills, and what are you cutting back on? 901-260-5926, 901-260-KWAM. Last night, like I said, we went to the accountants to you know, pay to tithe the federal government to give them their share. And my husband's like, there's this really great barbecue place, and we don't get barbecue, good barbecue in New Jersey, as you can imagine. And you probably would try our good barbecue place and not like it, just like I would try your good pizza place and not like it. I understand. But for us, it's good. This is good we're going to get. So he's like, oh, let's go there. We can order ahead. We can order online. We can get it. So we're in the car. I said, you want me to order? And he goes, we're not doing it. I said, why not? He said, $40. And I said, well, that would be if two of us were going out to dinner. Are you $40? He goes, yeah. Two of us are going out to dinner and someone's serving us, and you know, and so he said, no, we're not doing it. I'm not spending $40 for barbecue. I was like, okay. And so we didn't do it. At least not, you know, and takeout food, $40. I don't know. And but when you look at it, you're like, oh, it's only $20 a person. But I'm that person who shops at the grocery store, and my grocery store has a three refrigerated sections that have meats and salads, prepared foods, fish, all that stuff that needs to be refrigerated that is near its expiration date. And it's 30 to 70% off. So we get fried chicken that's 50% off, and we get two meals out of an $8 container of prepared fried chicken. That's great. So it's four meals, because if it's two of us eating twice, that's really great. Which is why, you know, no, we didn't spend money on the $40 barbecue. So I'm curious, have you cut back on stuff? We have. I'm not proud. I don't care. I'll tell you, I've cut back on stuff because things are more expensive now. 901-260-5926, 901-260-KWAM. Here's the other thing. And I know it's not legal in some states, but I see everywhere now, when I get my haircut, when I go to a restaurant, anywhere you're going to use a credit card now, and a lot of them will put it like on their website. I looked at a restaurant website. We were meeting some friends. I said, let's check this place out. And it says right on it, just note to customers, you can save 3.5 whatever percent if you pay in cash. They waived because they have a credit card fee and they're trying to not raise their prices. So if you pay in cash. So I said to my husband, I said, my God, the government's trying to push us all towards digital currency so they can track every single penny that we ever have ever taken in so that they can take half of it. Right. So trying to push us to digital currency. But yet, because of inflation and their policies, I have to go to the bank and I'm walking around with hundreds of dollars in my pocket just so I can go to a bar, or I can go get dinner, or I can go get my hair cut. It's ridiculous. I feel like Hunter Biden on a Saturday night, all cash, right? But not ones. That's something we do now. We're like, oh, let's check and see if we can save 3.5% by not using our credit cards. And we have to hit the bank. One of us, you know, his bank or my bank, and we got to go and we got to catch some, you know, get some cash out every time. Listen, I don't care if you call me cheap. I'm saving the 3.5%. Why wouldn't you? If you're having to get my hair done, I get it done like three times a year. It's like $200, and that keeps going up too. So $200, but if I can save that 3.5%, yeah. If I saw that money laying on the ground, would I pick it up? Sure would. But Americans skipping meals is a big deal. Do you think this affects the election at all? Or do people hate Donald Trump so much that they just won't vote for him? 901-260-5926, 901-260-KWAM is my number. Let's see. The median home in the U.S. cost $417,700 as of the fourth quarter of 2023, and that's according to HUD. Some states of California are more expensive. Median housing in California, why do people want to live there? $675,667 as of January. That's insane. The number of new homes being built has declined between 22 and 23. That's a big deal. That's a sign of the economy slowing down. But part of it is that thousands of construction workers are tied up in government contracts for green transportation projects that the Biden administration is pushing through. So they've got it because they get these big union contracts. They only give them to unions. So that's why. Here's some more. If you're a senior, the Biden administration a week ago cut the base payments for Medicare Advantage plans by an average of 0.16%. You're like, that's not a lot of money. 0.16%. That's just a slight cut. That's how the media is portraying those who did even report it. And the reason I'm doing this story, even though it's a week old, is because nobody knows about it. Nobody's reporting it. And I think it's huge because the Democrats run around talking about, oh, Republicans are going to cut Social Security and Medicare. Republicans are going to push grandma off a cliff. Remember that whole thing? They're going to push grandma off a cliff. Well, no, it's the Democrats. They always accuse you of doing exactly what they're doing. 1.16%. Now, this will impact more than half of Medicare enrollees. So if you're a senior enrolled in Medicare Advantage, you could see your supplemental benefits either reduced or your cost sharing will increase by $33 a month in 2025. Chris Meekins, who's an analyst of all this stuff, said President Biden's team is gambling that Medicare Advantage beneficiaries won't realize before the election that that Biden's team and the benefits were cut by them. Because if they do realize it before November, they may not vote for Biden. Why would you vote for that? Why would you vote yourself an almost $400 a year increase in Medicare Advantage? A 2021 Commonwealth Fund study found that 90% of Medicare Advantage enrollees were satisfied with their care, which is about the same satisfaction rate as traditional Medicare. And there are some research that show that they have some programs that outperform Medicare on some quality measures. So I wanted to share this with you again, because if you have a senior in your life who's a big Biden fan, don't go to Google. Go to like DuckDuckGo or Bing and just type in Biden Medicare Advantage cuts, and it should come up. It was a Breitbart. And also maybe type in Breitbart too. You know, Breitbart, Biden Medicare Advantage cuts, because I had a hard time bringing it up if I don't type in Breitbart, because a lot of times some sites won't bring Breitbart up. But if you have a senior in your life who hates the orange man, he's bad, he's gonna cut my Social Security and Medicare, I know that because MSNBC told me. Did MSNBC tell you that Joe Biden signed the rule last week and it doesn't take effect until next year after you vote for him? What about that transparency they told us about? It's really weird, isn't it? You want to jump in? 901-260-5926, 901-260. KWAM, talking about your personal economy. Are you cutting back? And how? What are you cutting back on? I'll take your calls coming up on the Todd Starn Show. If you're just joining us, welcome to the Todd Starn Show. I'm Mary Walter in the Liberty University Studios. Coming up in about half an hour, Jake Novak will be joining us. He is a political and economic analyst, Substack writer, podcaster, a whole lot more. And he will join us to talk about Biden's latest cash giveaway of your money, Trump's announcement on abortion in the 2024 election. So I said I had some news for you. All right, Special Counsel Hur, remember he came out with his report about Joe Biden. He delved into the records, the reports, the classified information that Joe Biden had scattered around in a couple different states and different places and in a box in the garage that wasn't even a box. It was falling apart and in a closet. And aides had handled them and people had moved them and God knows who looked at them. Well, that really, that was, he wouldn't have charged him, you know. So House Oversight Committee Chair James Comer, now, when Hurd did mention in his testimony, remember, that he interviewed Joe Biden. I think it took over 2 days. It took place over 2 days. And in his report, he described Joe Biden as, quote, a sympathetic, well-meaning elderly man with a poor memory. So the left was not happy about that with Robert Hur. And the right's not happy with Robert Hur because he chose not to charge him. But we're going to, you know, persecute Donald Trump, who had documents in a locked room that the FBI inspected in a residence that the Secret Service is protecting. But we'll go after that guy. So, all right. So James Comer, House Oversight Committee Chair, and Jim Jordan, who's the House Judiciary Committee Chair, they have threatened to hold Merrick Garland in contempt of Congress because the DOJ is not producing records that Congress is asking for. They subpoenaed those audio recordings of Robert Hur's interview with President Biden. They want to hear it because we only know what the transcript says. They want to hear the recordings. And what's interesting is they said no. Well, if we have the transcripts, why can't you give us the recordings? That doesn't make a lot of sense, does it? Unless the transcripts are different from the recordings. That's what I would think. Maybe that's why. The DOJ did not meet the deadline imposed by the GOP-led committee to respond, to cough it up. Okay, they were supposed to, yesterday was the deadline. They instead notified the committee that they would not turn over the audio files of Hur's interview. Here's what they said. The assistant attorney general, Carlos Duarte, wrote in a letter to Jordan and Comer on Monday. So he sent this letter yesterday, and it says this. The department is concerned that the committee's particular focus on continuing to demand information that is cumulative of information we already gave you. What the president and Mr. Hur's team said in the interview indicates that the committee's interest may not be in receiving information in service of legitimate oversight or investigatory functions, but to serve political purposes that should have no role in the treatment of law enforcement files. They did agree to turn over some other materials, such as a transcript of an interview with Biden's ghostwriter, Mark Zwanitzer. But here's the thing. They don't get to decide. DOJ, FBI doesn't get to decide what they turn over to Congress. Congress has oversight over those agencies. But if you notice, those agencies have more and more told Congress to go pound sand. They are becoming unaccountable agencies. No one oversees them, and that is, except the Democrats. They'll give the Democrats anything they want and then some. They'll spy on their political enemies for them, and nothing happens to them. So let's see whether the Republicans have what it takes to hold Garland in contempt. I don't think they will. I don't think they have the guts to do it. I just don't think they just don't have the right stuff at all. So, and just hours before Hur was scheduled to testify, the DOJ produced two redacted transcripts of Hur's interview with Biden. So that's the problem. They're redacted. And they want to hear why don't we get the whole thing? They have security clearance. They can have the whole thing. But the DOJ is saying that they don't. And I think they also want to know why his ghostwriter was not prosecuted for what they called sliding files of audio recordings and transcripts of his conversations with Biden into his recycle bin on his computer after he learned that the special counsel had been appointed. And Jim Jordan flat out asked Hur at the public hearing whether he thought that the ghostwriter tried to destroy evidence. And Hur said, correct, yes. Okay, so why was he not charged? I think those are legitimate questions. And I think that... clearly, we know, I don't even think, I know that Congress has the not only right, but the obligation to oversee the alphabet agencies, the DOJ, the FBI, CIA, on and on and on, NSA, the whole bit. They are supposed to report ultimately to Congress. These are dangerous times. Got more coming up after the top of the hour, and then Jake Novak will be joining us. I'm Mary Walter. You're listening to The Todd Starn Show.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us, that's right, I love this American ride.
I'm Mary Walter, sitting in for Todd Starnes at the Liberty University studios. Our number is 901-260-5926 or 901-260-KWAM, whichever is easiest for you to remember. You can also reach out to me on Twitter at Mary Walter Radio. There's only one of me, so there's no S in there. All right. Mary Walter Radio. So if you're just joining us, we were talking about how people are having to cut back in Biden's economy, so much so that Redfin, which is a homeowner and rental site, found that homeowners and renters reported skipping meals to afford housing in Biden's economy. And we're talking about like things that I do, my husband and I do, to cut costs. Listen, we've always lived below our means. That's the way we were raised. We were raised that you live below your means and you squirrel away as much money as you possibly can, always. No matter how much money you have, it's never enough. It's kind of the way we were raised as a rule. Now, if I had millions of dollars, I might feel differently. But right now, I'm like, okay, we have to squirrel away money. So just talk about what you're doing to try to cut, or do you have to? Have you noticed it in your world, your personal economy? Has Bidenomics taken an effect on it? Has inflation taken an effect on it? And in addition to that, the Biden administration last week, Joe Biden signed a rule that won't take effect until after the election, January 1st, 2025. Because he's so transparent. And, you know, Republicans, and they're always the ones who are going to cut Medicare. They're going to get rid of Social Security. Well, while the Democrats are telling you that, and they're telling your mom or your grandpa or whomever, you know, that's a diehard Democrat who's a senior, because Republicans are going to cut my Social Security and Medicare. Biden cut your Medicare Advantage 0.16%, which will result starting January 1st of 2025 in recipients could see their supplemental benefits reduced or their cost sharing increase by $33 a month. That's just shy of $400 a year. I think it's $396. So just shy of $400 a year. Notice he's waiting for you to vote, you know, vote blue, vote for Joe, you know, because he's so nice and he's not going to cut my Medicare or my Social Security. And this way, if Trump becomes president, he can blame it on Trump. And if he becomes president, they're just going to ignore it. Just like they didn't tell you about this. And so if you want to find it, you just go to DuckDuckGo or Bing. Don't use Google. And type in Breitbart, B-R-E-I-T-B-A-R-T, Biden Medicare Advantage cut or cuts, cut. And it should come up. Or Biden moves to slash Medicare Advantage. All right, let us go to the phones where we have Kathy from, I think she's from Maine here, listening on WLOB. Kathy, welcome. You are on the Todd Starn Show. How are you?
I am on medical leave right now. I just had my left hip replaced on March 8th. And I'm 66 years old. And I'm not on Social Security or I'm not on Medicare. I'm not on Medicare because I am still working. I work two jobs, and I have insurance through my employer, which is cheaper than Medicare.
Sure.
And also, back in 2022, I cut my cable, I cut my internet, I cut my home phone line, and back in February, I had to withdraw money from my retirement plan so I could pay for my mortgage and my vehicle loan and to live on for 2 months while I'm on medical leave.
Yeah. Well, first of all, congratulations on getting your hip replaced. They do. It's so much easier now than it used to be. I know a couple people who have had it done, younger people, but people who have had it done. And I have a friend who's 92, and they told her they can do her too, that she could get her hip replaced and she'll still be able to function. She's a little tight. She's not going to have it done, but she could have it done. So, you know, I wonder if you could make money by selling your house because the market is still up right now. You know, make some money selling your house and maybe find downsize, as so many people are doing, downsize. You know, my husband and I are getting rid of so much stuff, you know, selling clothes, selling stuff online, that kind of thing, you know, yard sales to make some extra cash. But my parents sold their home in 2019 or 2020, and they made a lot more money on it than they would have, I think, if they had waited. So if you wait too long, you may not get the money on it. And I wonder if that would be something you could do to try to, you know, bring your finances back into order a little bit more favorably.
Well, I live in a mobile home, and I live on a little bit over 9 acres, and I have a large shed that I've been wanting for years and years, and I just bought it in 2019, and I'm really happy where I'm living.
I know, I know. Yeah, no, I hear you, Kath, and I wish there was a solution. It's like, you know, my husband and I have really, and first of all, thank you for calling. Thank you for listening. God bless. And I wish you the best in your recovery, and I really hope things turn around for you. But you have 9 acres. You have the shed on it. I know you say you're living in a mobile home. I think somewhere down the road, should you need to, at least you have that. Like, that's a good investment. Like, that's a good investment. That's a good asset to have. So you do have that to fall back on if necessary. So that's a blessing. And I wish you the best in your recovery. Feel better soon. And thank you for listening to the Todd Starnes Show. Yeah, you know, we look at it, and I live in a really high tax state, the People's Socialist Republic of New Jersey, and we have the highest property taxes in the country. We pay almost $22,000. Our homes are reassessed every year, and your land and everything, and they base it on a certain percentage of homes in your town, and then you can fight it. So we fought our last assessment, but you got to apply, you got to fill out the forms, you got to pay the fee, you got to go, and you got to go to, and then, you know, we talk to the guy in town and he says no. So then we got to go through all that stuff. And then we got to go to the county and they take all the information, and then you get a letter in the mail saying yay or nay. So, and even if you get that far, I've got to do it again next year. So I get it. And because a lot of our friends are moving out, they're leaving. And my parents have lived in New Jersey their whole lives. They had a great group of friends that they've been with since they were in their 30s, went to the same church. You know, they had this, our kids, we all grew up together. We all knew each other, still do. And our parents are in their late 80s, early 90s now, and they're starting to die. And it's just my parents and my husband's parents are still left of their group. But they all got to be together throughout life. But my generation, everyone's leaving and going elsewhere. Three of my friends have gone to Delaware or going to Delaware. A bunch have gone to Florida or are going to go to Florida. So people are dispersing, and we're not going to have the opportunity to grow old with our friends. That's not going to happen for us because we're forced to move out because we can't afford it. And I think that you hear that a lot, unfortunately. Okay, 901-260-KWAM or Mary Walter Radio on X. I'm trying to get to those, but there's a lot of notifications. And I cannot read your notifications and do all the stories as well at the same time, because then it just becomes a big mess. So a little news for you. Trump sought to delay his New York trial within the Alvin Bragg hush money payments investigation. Remember, this is a case that the former AG, Cyrus Vance Jr., said investigated, wouldn't bring it. And he said no. The feds chose not to bring this case. It's a really, really flimsy case, but they're just trying. It's just lawfare. They want him to spend money. They want him to spend time in the courtroom. They don't want him out campaigning. This is what you do in third world fascist countries. And we have a, you know, fascist dictator sitting in the White House or on his way to becoming one. And so this is what they're going to do to Trump, because he went to the New York appeals court. And in a shock to no one, they said, nope, jury selection is set to begin next week. And he also said that he wanted a change of venue for the trial. He wanted it removed from New York because he said polling and quantitative analysis of media coverage shows that a fair and impartial jury cannot be selected right now based on prejudicial pretrial publicity. It's true. He's not going to get a fair trial in New York, just like the January 6th defendants don't get a fair trial in D.C. You know, why Jack Smith was asked by Judge Cannon why he's trying the documents case in D.C. Why did he go to D.C. to get an indictment when the alleged crimes happened in Florida? And we all know why. Because D.C., I think, voted something like 98% for Biden. I don't know if that was that much, but close to that. And, you know, 2% voted other just because they didn't want anybody to know they voted for Trump. So you're guilty. I think they have convicted 100% of the people who've come in front of them. Yep, guilty, 100%. Maybe one, not, they didn't. But I think they have indicted every single one on every single charge. Same thing in New York. Last week, the judge, Judge Juan Merchan, whose daughter is making the Democrats and the Democrat Party a ton of money off of publicity from this trial, etc. She's a Democrat strategist. She has donated to Joe Biden heavily. She is helping Adam Schiff with his campaign. The Democrats pay her. He is presiding over the trial because there's no reason. He's not biased. It's fine. Don't worry about it. But, you know, Clarence Thomas, they want him off because of his wife. The former president had requested the trial be put on hold, pending this U.S. Supreme Court ruling on presidential immunity. Arguments in front of that, in front of SCOTUS, start on April 25th with a ruling expected in mid-June. Trump says that he is immune from prosecution for conduct alleged to involve official acts during his tenure in office. And his lawyers argue that some of the evidence and alleged acts in the hush money case overlap with his time in the White House and constitute official acts. I don't even know why they're going there. John Edwards was tried on this, and he was like, they're like, yeah, it's no big deal. And off he went. But it's Trump. And Merchan also imposed a gag order on him. So he can't say anything, but his daughter can use the case to make money for Democrats. And tell, you know, so the Democrats can make money off the case, but Trump can't even talk about it. So this probably isn't going to go anywhere, hopefully. Also, one of his co-defendants in the Fannie Willis case, that one down in Georgia, Harrison Floyd, accused Willis of racism in a statement on X that he posted on X. He said he's filing an equal protection claim against her. He adding that her upbringing is deeply rooted in radical progressive ideology. Here's the deal. He's black. He's black. And he said, while my skin is also black, D.A. Willis identifies me as white and views me as a defender of white supremacists due to my political beliefs. Deep down, she wants to make me pay for what she feels is a betrayal to black culture. Her words and actions consistently demonstrate a hate for white people and a need to make this case about race. He said D.A. Willis is blinded by her upbringing, as I said, which was deeply rooted in radical progressive ideology and racism. She has no problem weaponizing her skin or her office to further its aims. Mm-hmm. All right, coming up, the jury questionnaire, the jury screening questionnaire in ahead of this Alvin Bragg case in New York. I'll share some of it with you. I've never gotten to that far in any kind of jury selection, so I don't know what the questions are like. Never been there. But some of them are pretty interesting. Yeah, they want to figure out who you really, really are. So I'll share that with you coming up. If you want to join me, 901-260-5926, 901-260-KWAM. I'm Mary Walter on the Todd Starnes Show. And welcome back to the Todd Starnes Show. How are you? I am Mary Walter, sitting in for Todd. If you want to jump in, 901-260-5926, 901-260-KWAM. So I said I would bring the juror questionnaire for you. This is for the Alvin Bragg trial in New York. And they ask questions. They want to know a lot about your life. They want to know who you are. And they want to know about your affiliations, especially QAnon, Proud Boys, Oath Keepers, BLM. They do ask about Antifa. Because, you know, all of these people are going to say, sure, I'm affiliated with these people. And I know, like, if you lie on it, it's probably like, you know, you're going to go to jail. But they ask, like, where are you from? What neighborhood? Which neighborhood? Are you married? What do you like to do in your spare time? Do you have any hobbies? Yes, Black Lives Matter. I like to burn down cities. I was part of the summer of 2020, a summer of love. Which of the following print publications, cable or network programs, or online media sites, and they go through Wall Street Journal, Fox News, MSN, Google, Facebook, Truth Social. I don't follow the news. Do you watch podcasts? Which one? Do you listen to talk radio? Which programs? Have you ever been a victim of a crime or a friend or a close relative? Which I've seen those asked before. Let's see. Have you ever been accused? Anybody accused of convicting of crime? Do you have any political, moral, intellectual, or religious beliefs or opinions which might prevent you from following the court's instructions? So here's the problem with these questions. People who are on the get Trump train, who are on that part of it, they're not going to say, yes, I think Trump's an evil person. They're going to be like, yeah, I'm going to do my duty and save democracy, and I'm going to get Trump. Do you take any medication? Do you practice a religion that will prevent you from sitting as a juror? That's fine. That stuff's all well and good. So I find it interesting. Have you ever attended a rally or a campaign event for Donald Trump? Have you signed up or ever been signed up or subscribed to any newsletter, email list run on behalf of the Trump organization? Yeah, they don't ask about BLM, QAnon, Proud Boys, Oath Keepers, Three Percenters, Boogaloo Boys, and Antifa. Let's go to Mike in Georgia listening on WDUN. Mike, welcome to the Todd Starn Show. You have a cutting back story in this era of Bidenomics. What you cutting back on? Hi.
Hi, how you doing?
Doing good. So we don't have a ton of time here, so I've got two minutes.
I'm a disabled vet, and my wife and I haven't gone on vacation in 15 years. I live in a rent-reduced apartment, live on Social Security and a little bit of VA disability. I'm in a food stamp line right now, and we just had to cut back on everything. Really can't afford much. I have an interesting story about the eclipse, if you'd like to hear it.
Sure, go ahead. 1 minute.
Yeah, my wife's Korean, and 80 years ago, her mother was in the mountains with her grandmother, and there's graves on the mountain. That's where they bury the dead, and they were picking greens, and all of a sudden, an eclipse came. Now, of course, in a third world country, they didn't know much about eclipses. All of a sudden, it got dark. It got cold. They thought an evil spirit had come out of the graves. They ran screaming down the mountain all the way home.
So, you know what, though? It's funny to us, but I can see how that could happen. But isn't it so much more exciting when you don't know what's going on? You're scared out of your mind. Like when the earthquake happened, like I said, I didn't know what was going on. I wasn't scared because I didn't know what was going on. But I can see where that would be a very, very scary thing. And it's easy for us to laugh at, but I kind of feel sorry for them. Well, I hope God blesses you. And I hope that life gets easier for you. There's no reason why our vets are standing in line for food stamps. Sorry, people. I'm not down with that. Coming up, Jake Novak joining us. Talk a lot about the news and the stories in the news. That is next on the Todd Starn Show. Mary Walter in for Todd Starnes in the Liberty University studios. And joining us right now on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line is Jake Novak. Jake is a political and economic analyst, a Substack writer. He's a podcaster. He's also a broadcast news veteran and just a whole lot more. He's everywhere. You can find him everywhere on X at JakeJakeNY. Very simple. Jake, thank you for joining me on the Todd Starnes Show.
Oh, my pleasure. Glad to finally be talking with you.
Yeah, awesome. Jake and I we've gone back and forth on X, but we've never actually spoken in person. So I'm glad I took this opportunity. Before we go any further, where can people find your Substack and podcast? Like, what
so
is
everything
the title?
Is really on the Substack. Yeah, I mean,
right.
it's Jake Novak. So my name is Jake, the common spelling Novak, N-O-V-A-K, .substack.com. And that's where you can find, I have a lot of daily material there. Everything from business to the Middle East to culture to religion to politics, there's daily stuff there. And you mentioned the X feed, Jake NY. I'm very active there, and a lot of times I'll have links to other columns I've written and other points I make. So those two landing places are good enough, I think.
Okay, great. Because you've done so much. I was like, well, this is going to take a long time. So there's so much to get into with you. And you and I, like I said, have gone back and forth on next, and we've commented on some of the same stories. One of the things I wanted to start off with is that we've gone back and forth and we've commented on common threads is Biden's new student loan forgiveness plan. Now, this could erase up to $20,000 of interest for millions of borrowers. So what he's doing is he's not getting rid of the loan. He's not, quote unquote, passing the loan or forgiving the loan and transferring that debt onto other people. He's just going to transfer the interest that these people have accumulated by not paying off the debt. He's going to get rid of that because some of them have thousands of dollars in interest because they haven't been paying. So is this a legal way, or what do you think? Do you think this is a legit way to get around the Supreme Court ruling?
Well, Mary, I'm going to give you an unusual answer. I hope you're glad you booked me, because there's a lot of people who will say, who will make the legal argument that you've made, and a lot of people have made it. And if this were an economics class or a constitutional law class, this would be appropriate for us to discuss whether or not Joe Biden has the legal right to do this. And listen, he doesn't. I don't think this is a legal, you know, to answer your question, I don't think this is a legal way around it. I think the court's decision here was pretty clear. But the point I really want to make is that we're here on talk radio. We're in the public square. We're trying to make a political argument and win hearts and minds here. And focusing on the constitutionality of this, focusing on, going after, degrading or denigrating the borrowers, however irresponsible they may be. Listen, it's fun for us to make fun of the upper middle class kids, white kids who took poetry as a major and now they can't pay things off because they can only get a job at Starbucks. I get it. But the political winner here, Mary, is to focus our fire on not only the people really responsible for this, but a bipartisan target that will win a lot more people over. And that is the colleges themselves. Mary, since the 1960s and some of them even before that, colleges have been raising tuition well beyond the rate of inflation. Why do they do it? Because they can. Because the tax system that we've set up in this country encourages them to charge as much as they possibly can. And that is the problem. And this student loan forgiveness program only enables them to do it even more. Right. So the same Democrats who bash pharma for charging us a lot of money for our drugs, who bash oil companies for charging us money at the gas station, have no problem with the colleges who, by the way, if you're a middle-class family, Mary, with two or more kids, the college tuition you will be paying for those children will be the biggest expenditure of your life, more than the house, more than your medical bills. That will be it. And both Democrats especially, but Republicans too, because they train their fire in the wrong place here, are letting them get away with it. Focus on these colleges. They are getting away with murder, and this Biden student loan forgiveness and the Republican response to it are enabling them further, and that is driving me nuts.
I agree with you. Now, when I believe, wasn't it under Obama when they first got in the student loan business? That was under Obama. And I believe at the time, and I'm trying to find the quote, but at the time, Biden said the quiet part out loud and said that this is going to naturally drive up the cost of college. And then, of course, he was reined in, and that was the end of it. Because it makes sense when you have a bottomless pit of money. Of course, the schools are going to build spas. It's like Mar-a-Lago. They have more amenities. When I went to college, I went to a school that had been an all-boys school. It was Catholic school. I went to Villanova. And if you were in one of the quote unquote women's dorms, because it was men and women because it's Catholic school, the women's bathrooms had urinals. They did nothing. I mean, there was like your room, your dorm room was just cinder blocks with bunk beds, and you were allowed to have a microwave, and that was it. You know, like it was like the basics. There were TVs were only in the main room. Now, it's crazy. Like they have gyms and they have this and they have that and everything else because everyone can go to college now. So your point is absolutely valid. However, I do blame these kids. I got into it with one yesterday on X who said that, you know, despite getting a job out of college, he's so grateful because despite getting a job out of college and having a house and, you know, being started and he's got a house and he has a car, because of the house payments and the car payment and stuff, he really couldn't pay off his student loan. So he's so grateful to Joe Biden.
Yeah.
So I think that they expect this to be done, and they know if they hold out long enough, they don't care about the debt. They don't care about the credit rating because they know it's going to be wiped away. So I blame them.
You're not wrong about any of it. It's just that it's a political loser. These people, as deserving as that kid you talked about, well, not a kid anymore, you talked about, deserve to have to pay their loans back and to be told that they made a promise and they need to pay it back. You're absolutely right. But let's talk about the people who are victim. Now, some people, you know, are easier to victimize than others. Let's be honest. But honestly, you have colleges that are big. Now, so if it were just the improvement of the amenities at these universities, you know, no more urinals in the women's dorm and nice dining halls and gyms, that would be one thing. But Mary, they're really spending all that money on hiring all these new administrators. All the, you know, this whole thing about DEI on campus and all these DEI infrastructures wouldn't be possible with all this extra money that floods into these universities. You know, they don't hire more professors. The student to professor ratio at a lot of these schools hasn't changed in years. They really don't. In fact, very often they have to hire two professors for every class because the famous professor they hire only writes books, and then they have to hire an assistant to actually teach the classes. It's just incredible. So you're totally not wrong about this, but if I were running a political campaign, I would say to my candidate, look, go after these colleges. They are gouging the public, and they're getting away with it, and you need to come up with something. Forget about, instead of student loan plans, say, hey, here's what we're going to do. For every dollar that a student like that guy you talked about with the car in the house who's defaulted on his loan, 50 cents the colleges are now on the hook for. Watch how fast college tuition inflation stops after that. For every defaulted loan, the college that took that kid in is going to have to pay for half of it. Oh, boy, you'll see it. You'll see something good right there. Second thing I would propose is your tax-free college endowments. Every time you raise tuition by 1%, we're going to tax your endowment by 1%. There will be a dollar-for-dollar quid pro quo as far as that's concerned. And your property taxes, every time you build anything that isn't a classroom or an actual dorm, every time you build a new gym, every time you build a new DEI office, that will be taxed. Property taxes will be assessed on that property. And watch how fast they stop with that nonsense. That is what we need to propose. And there will be 60, 70, 80% buy-in from the American people. You won't have a bunch of people walking around saying, the Republicans don't care about these poor kids. They'll say, oh, these people are going after the folks who charge my kid $75,000 a year for his degree in Bavarian poetry, and he can't get a job now. That is a political winner. I urge you and everyone else to follow my lead on this one.
So I agree with you. I was going to bring up the endowment. So very quickly, because I may have to hold you over if you don't mind, if you have the
no
time.
Problem.
Okay, so just very quickly, last thing on this is it he's buying votes. Everyone's saying he's just buying votes. That's what he's trying to do. So it may resonate with their parents, but does it resonate with them? And I don't know if it does, because NBC just put out a poll that Biden is hemorrhaging voters of Americans under the age of 30. Among voters ages 18 to 29 right now, Trump is at 58% and Biden's at 40%. Does that number move with his, you know, latest batch of I'm going to buy your vote?
No, because a lot of those 18 to 29 year olds haven't incurred the debt yet. In other words, they might still be in school. This is the problem that we're talking about. They don't even realize what they're getting into yet. It's not until they're in their 30s that they realize, oh, my God, I got to pay this back. So, no. And this comes on the heels of this report that's come out lately that older voters in all the Western democracies now have more sway than they've ever had before. So he's hemorrhaging on both sides because Trump has had an advantage with elderly voters for a long time.
Yes. Well, Trump should have more of an advantage because Biden just signed that rule to cut Medicare Advantage starting in the new year. And that got zero coverage by the media. And of course, it doesn't start till 1/1/25 after they all vote for him.
Right. So, and, you know, this is our thing. I mean, this entire segment could be what Republican political consultants are doing wrong. They're not doing the right messaging on this college thing, and they're not talking about this Medicare Advantage. Every Republican candidate, you and I agree on this, should be shouting about this. They're not. I don't know who these political consultants are. I want my money back, though. That's all I can say.
There you go. All right, coming up, we're going to delve into abortion. We won't have a ton of time, so we're going to have to get to the meat of it very quickly. My guest here is Jake Novak, and we've got more with Jake coming up on the Todd Stern Show. And welcome back to the Todd Stern Show. I am Mary Walter in the Liberty University studios with my guest on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker Hotline, Jake Novak, who is with us. You can find him on X at JakeJakeNY or go to JakeNovak at Substack.com to find all of his writings and everything you want to know about Jake. So, Jake, let's talk about Trump's statement on abortion. Trump basically came out and split the baby. He said, "I agree with the Supreme Court decision. And that this is where it should be settled in the states. The states have the Constitution's clear, right? If it, whatever laws are not powers that are not given to the state to the federal government are not enumerated in the Constitution, go to the states, and that's where this belongs." Ruth Bader Ginsburg even said that Roe was the wrong decision. She said that she had wished that they had just kicked it back to the state where it belonged. And she knew that this day would come, and she thinks it's the right, you know, this is the right decision where it belongs. Did Trump, though, make a huge mistake? Did he miscalculate on this?
No, I think yesterday was a huge winning day for Donald Trump for a lot of reasons. First of all, the people in the Republican Party who got really angry at him and pushed back on him have now turned him into an absolute moderate in it. Second of all, anytime someone is talking about a policy that Trump is supporting or has enacted, it's a huge win for him. Because you'll notice almost all the negative coverage of him and the ridiculous coverage of him is all about stuff that, you know, either his trials or something he's accused of saying or some kind of emotion that he had. When you talk about his policies only, that's a win too. But also, I think that this unmasked something that a number of people, even Trump supporters, have had a hard time coming to terms with, which is that the establishment Republican Party does not support Donald Trump. And some of the members of that establishment yesterday decided to use abortion as a Hail Mary to try to wrest the party away from him one last time. It's not going to work, just like most Hail Marys don't work. And I think it was a huge winning day for him in so many, many, many ways, not to mention what you just talked about. For years, the conservative movement said, we want to bring this back to the states. We want to overturn Roe. They got what they wanted, thanks to Donald Trump. End of story.
And liberals have always said that they wrestled for rights in their states, right, to go against in order to codify Roe, but they wanted more in their states. So they were always against when their states would make rules. But this way, in your state, if you want to abort your baby as you're birthing it and you want that in your state, then fight for it on a state level, right? Same thing if you don't want abortion in your state, then fight for it on a state level. But the vast majority of Americans agree on several things. They agree in exceptions for rape, incest, the health of the mother. Majority of Americans agree on that. And the majority of Americans agree that an abortion in the first trimester, they can be okay with that. But then it wanes after that, and it drops precipitously second, and then third, it's something like over 70% of Americans say no way in the third trimester. So it looks like there's almost like a national consensus on this. So what I wish Republicans would understand, and the far right on this would understand, and the far left too, but the left seems to understand this more than the right does. It's better to have a half a loaf of bread than no loaf at all. Right. Yeah, so you didn't get a total ban. Yeah. You didn't get Trump to come out and say, no, total ban. You know, Mike Pence came out and he's very disappointed. That's fine, because Mike Pence is very religious. But most of the country doesn't believe that way. But if you get some of it, if you get, say, a 12 week, and after 12 weeks, that's where your state says no mas, isn't it better to save some babies than no babies?
All right. Let me ask you a question, Mary, and all the viewers. at all the listeners. Would you rather have a law that completely bans abortions, or would you rather have fewer abortions performed in this country? Now, I don't care what it says on a book. I don't care what it says on a piece of paper. If we're working towards fewer abortions because we've done better with our sex education, or we've done better economically, or we've done better with preserving the family, that is much more important to me than something that you have on a piece of paper. You know who also understood that? Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton made a point of saying, let's have abortion be more rare in this country. It won a lot That's of moderates right. over to his side. It was good campaigning. You know, it's just one of those things you should understand. And I think that this was something that Donald Trump did as well. Now, if you bring this back to the states and you have a number of states that take the common sense approach to when they're going to ban it and when they're not that you just mentioned, I think you're going to be able to have a conversation in this country about, hey, this isn't a great thing to go through, no matter what your state says. So let's try to stop you from needing the abortion in the first place. And that is where we want to be in this country. You know, the reason why the left went crazy about this and suddenly said we don't want any stop, as you know, like you said, in the middle of birth, let's abort the child, is because they felt legally they needed to fight to protect all abortion. So they went to the most extreme place. So they figured, like, well, if we meet them in the middle, we'll be where we want. That's led to a culture now where we have more abortions than ever. We don't want that. We want to talk to people, whether they're religious or not religious, and say, this is not a desirable process to go through emotionally or physically, and it's not moral. If you don't believe in morality, let's go with me on the first two things I just said. And I think that is what that's the argument. Let's make it rare. Let's make it rare. And if laws aren't going to make it rare, let's find another way to do it.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. Jake Novak, thank you so much for joining me. We got to run. I appreciate you coming on. Hope to talk to you again soon. Find him at JakeNovak@Substack.com or JakeNY on X. Have a great day.
Thank you so much for having me. Thank you.
Absolutely. Hey, Americans have had enough of supporting companies that hate our values. Are you tired of compromise? If so, it's time to switch to Patriot Mobile, America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. They are an example of putting the cause ahead of the profits, and that's why Todd is so proud to partner with them. Patriot Mobile offers dependable nationwide coverage, giving you access to all three major networks, which means you get the same coverage you've been accustomed to without funding the left. When you switch to Patriot Mobile, you support the First Amendment, the Second Amendment, the sanctity of life, our military, veterans, and first responder heroes. Their 100% U.S.-based customer service team makes switching super easy. You keep your number, keep your phone, or you can upgrade. Their team will help you find the best plans for your needs. Just go to patriotmobile.com/Todd, or you can call 972-PATRIOT. Get free activation when you use the offer code Todd. Join Todd and make the switch today. PatriotMobile.com/Todd. That's PatriotMobile.com/Todd, or call 972-PATRIOT. Coming up, Michael McCormick here on the Todd Starn Show.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
I'm Mary Walter in the Liberty University Studio, sitting in for Todd Starnes. All right, this guest, I think you're going to find super interesting. The first time I interviewed him, I said, I have to have this guy on again. So you get to hear him. His name is Michael McCormick. He is Joe Biden's, you ready for this? Former White House stenographer. Who knew? And he has a great book out, The Case to Impeach and Imprison Joe Biden. You can find him on X at Joe Unauthorized. All right, Michael, welcome to the Todd Starn Show on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker Hotline. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Mary, great to talk to you again. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. So glad you're here. So I'm just laughing because Dylan, who is running the show here today, he didn't know what a stenographer was. So he didn't. I had to explain to him what shorthand is.
Right. And, you know, in my job, what we did was we used recorders and typing. So basically it was mostly type fast. Listen to what you record and make grammar correct when it's transcript for the White House, which is really hard when you work for Joe Biden.
Wait. So, okay, so I didn't know this. So let's just tell everybody. First of all, you traveled with Joe Biden everywhere. You went with him everywhere. You've been on Air Force One when he was with Barack Obama. You've been on Air Force Two when it was just him. You went all over the world with him. How does somebody get this job?
I was a contractor when I started there in 2002. And the company had a contract. I worked before then at the State Department in the same kind of job. And they said, hey, we got an opening at the White House. We want you there. And so, you know, I earned my way in. As a contractor, you earn your way in. I never had to work on a campaign or anything. And so I was always apolitical. You know, I'm an independent voter. I don't go one way or the other. And that kind of helped. And it was with the press office. So, you know, we were sort of at the edge of where the press would interact with the White House, whether it was with the press secretary or the principals like the vice president or the president, whether it was in the Oval Office or in Air Force One or Air Force Two. Somebody from our office would be in there with a recorder to record what the press asked, what the president said, so the official White House transcript could reflect it accurately.
Right. Okay. So, to me, such an interesting job. I never knew stenographers still even existed. And as I said, I had to explain to young Dylan what a stenographer used to do. I had to explain, you know, the old timey movies.
Yeah, right.
And explain what shorthand is. So you traveled everywhere with Joe. I would assume that you probably heard some incredible, you obviously had to have security clearances, because if you traveled to foreign countries with them, you probably heard some things that were top secret, etc. So,
I never had a top secret clearance because we were with the press office. So everything I heard was said in the presence of the press.
Okay.
So
okay.
I had a clearance for, it's called World Leader Clearance. So I was investigated and you know, said, okay, this guy's fine to stand next to a world leader, but, you know, no top secret, no classified.
Okay. All right. So let me ask you, you traveled with him. What's Joe Biden really like?
Well, you know, back then, so this is 2011 through 2017. Joe Biden, to describe him in a word, was thirsty, very ambitious. He wanted to be the president, and he was very egotistical. So he thought, you know, to be honest with you, from behind the scenes, I could tell by the way he talked about himself, he thought he was a better politician than Barack Obama. But he kept it under wraps, and he had to in that environment, because Barack Obama was the worshipped president, probably the most worshipped president in American history. And Joe Biden had to play second fiddle. You know what he was like? You know, on the Simpsons, you got Sideshow Bob. He was kind of like Sideshow Bob. You know, he's like the goofy sideshow, but underneath it, there's a real devious cunning that is very dangerous there. That's Joe Biden.
Interesting. So I would assume, though, that all politicians are very ambitious, and they all probably think that they're the smartest one in the room. You could tell Barack Obama absolutely thought he was the smartest person in the room everywhere he went.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, but Biden would think, the way he talked and, you know, always talking about his experience and stuff. And he would go on and on and on. I mean, he was a blowhard. You know, there's smart politicians who know that, you know, you're going to speak for yourself for a while, but you got to let everybody else in on the conversation. And Biden wouldn't do that sometimes. So, you know, there was a real sort of egotism there that, frankly, was why he never rose beyond being an elected president. Until he was able to campaign from his basement and basically spend half of his campaign in 2020 where nobody saw him.
And have a media that, unlike his run in the 80s that called him out on all his lies, allowed it to happen because they hated his opponent so much, they basically became an arm of the DNC. And now we have state-run media at this point. And you had a weaponized DOJ, FBI, and all the other alphabet agencies who wanted some, I would assume, somebody like Joe Biden, who's not that smart but thinks he is probably the easiest guy in the world to manipulate.
Perfect. Perfect description of what happened. You're right.
Question I haven't asked you before, just from what you have observed with the interaction, especially with Barack Obama, Joe Biden, what do you think, if any, the role is of Barack Obama in Joe Biden's presidency?
I think Barack Obama is a very concerned bystander. I think Biden has a lot more day-to-day say in what he does. You know, they were probably partnered on a lot of things. But Biden is running off the rails. And I think Obama's more and more concerned about how bad it's getting. And I don't think he has the power to tell Biden to stop running off the rails. You know, we'll see how it works out. But Barack Obama just, you know, he's kind of trying to influence things the way he knows he can. But his influence is waning precipitously. And all of a sudden, he's just kind of the guy on stage who's clapping his hands while Joe blows it, you know, at the fundraisers.
I'm surprised because I really thought that Barack Obama was and Susan Rice and the rest of the band were back together, and that's why Barack Obama did not move out of Washington, D.C. I mean, who the hell wants to stay in Washington, D.C., and who in their right mind never wants to leave? You know, he's got a place in Hawaii. He's got the place in Martha's Vineyard and a place in Chicago. You would think that that's where he would want to be, especially as far away from the train wreck that is the Biden presidency. So I'm surprised to hear you say that because I thought for sure you were going to say, oh, yeah, 100%, Biden has no clue what's going on. He doesn't know what planet he's on. And he is not running anything because he's not capable of it. So I'm very interesting to hear you say that. So let's talk about the case to impeach and imprison Joe Biden.
Yeah,
you know what?
Absolutely.
Wait, hold on. Hang on. I'm going to take a quick break and I'm going to give you more time on the other side. So let's talk about why you feel that Joe Biden, there's enough on Joe Biden to not only be impeached, but also go to jail for it. Unlike Robert Hur, who clearly disagrees with you. All right. So we're going to get to that. Don't go anywhere. Coming up next with Michael McCormick, Joe Biden's former White House stenographer and author of The Case to Impeach and Imprison Joe Biden. More of that on the Todd Starnes Show. Mary Walter with you in for Todd Starnes. My guest, Michael McCormick, is on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker Hotline. He was Joe Biden's former White House stenographer for 6 years. And he traveled with Joe Biden to Ukraine and a lot of other countries. And he has written the book, The Case to Impeach and Imprison Joe Biden. I assume that you were out of the White House for several years before you wrote this book. But what prompted you to write this?
Well, that's I was out of the White House. I left the White House in 2018. And what happened was I knew Joe Biden was probably going to run for president when I was looking at the election stuff in 2019. So I started writing a book called Joe Biden Unauthorized and a 2020 Crack Up at the Democratic Party. Well, it came out a week before all the shutdowns happened in March of 2020. And so it just didn't get anywhere. But what happened was Marco Polo, there's a guy who runs the anti-corruption nonprofit Marco Polo named Garrett Ziegler. He got in touch with me. He said, Mike, you know about Joe Biden, you should have a copy of this laptop. I have a copy. I was in the White House with President Trump right at the end. Would you like one? So he gave it to me, and I started looking through it. And because I had traveled with Joe and I knew his schedule, I had it in my mind because I lived it, I could go back into the laptop and look at April 2014 when we went to Ukraine and see all this laptop traffic, emails going, oh yeah, we want to have a meeting with Joe in the Oval Office. So I'm like, wait a minute, you know what? There's a crime here. And so that's when I wrote the book. And the more I dug into it, the more I found. And it's pretty incontrovertible, the evidence I put in there. Joe Biden should be arrested for what he did in Ukraine and impeached.
And this information sitting out there, there had to be people who knew what was going on working for the government and didn't say anything and haven't said anything and covered for him. Why would they do that?
Because they're all in his White House now. Jake Sullivan came back as his national security advisor. He was the national security advisor on the plane trip into Ukraine in April 21st, 2014, when I recognized the first crime I really wrote about, and I put that into a tip to the FBI about a year ago. I sent them a tip on their tip website. I said, look, I saw crime. Joe Biden, Jake Sullivan, this is what happened. And the FBI has never gotten back to me. That's the Department of Justice you were talking about that's corrupted. So all these entities are corrupted, and they're covering for Joe Biden's crimes. And that's why I wrote the book.
So I guess why would the FBI cover for Joe Biden? What's in it for them? That's what I don't get. Like, what do they get out of it? They don't get anything personal out of it. They're not making any of the money. They didn't make any of the money. As a matter of fact, some of them probably look at him and they're like, oh, I can't believe I have to guard this guy, you know, unless that's just the rank and file. Who higher up makes any kind of money on this? Do they?
I don't think it's a matter of making money. I think it's more of a matter of they have to do what they're told. And part of them, they're ideologues. I mean, they're like, they want Trump out of there. They want Joe Biden in there. They put Joe Biden in there in suspicious circumstances, and they've got to cover for every suspicious circumstance there is. Election fraud, they got to cover for the Burisma Holdings kickback. They've got to cover for his China kickback. You know, the Oversight Committee is looking into it. I had an informal interview with them about a year ago in April 2023 and told them what I knew at the time. I've learned more since then, and that's what's in the book. And frankly, part of the reason I wrote the book is I get the feeling that the Oversight Committee isn't doing a full job. You know, I talk about Barack Obama being part of this conspiracy. I talk about Jake Sullivan being part of this conspiracy, and I told him those things. But when they go asking these questions, they're just looking at the Biden crime family. They're asking questions specific to that. And they're not looking at the broader conspiracy. And frankly, the broader conspiracy includes members of the U.S. Embassy in Ukraine at the time who were involved in the impeachment, the first impeachment of President Trump in 2019. So this is there's a deep, dark conspiracy around this Ukraine process. And there's, you know, more to come.
So do you, let me look in your crystal ball. Is this important enough for them to, if Trump does look like he's going to win this this election, for them to interfere in order to keep this whole thing going?
Well, that's why I want the book to get out there, and I really appreciate you having me on to talk about it. Because the more public information that is already at the fingertips of the public, the less they can convince the public that, oh, this is the best way to go. The public's looking at Joe Biden right now, thanks to what they have seen through this Oversight Committee investigation, realizing something really significant and dirty was going on with his son. And there's going to be a trial for his tax evasion in a couple months. But, you know, there's more to this than just that. And they're trying to make that sound like, oh, we're going to get Hunter, slap him on the wrist, and it's all done. But it's not going to be done. And if Trump comes in and there's a lot of open questions, I mean, I think that's what gets Trump in is, you know, there are people who are looking at Joe Biden going, I can't vote for this guy. He's a criminal. The stuff that he did is criminal. And it's treason. I mean, the second part of the book goes into what he did with cartels in Honduras.
Oh, okay. In Honduras.
Right.
Right. So Honduras, but I stopped for a second because this is the first time I'm hearing Honduras, right? I hear Ukraine, right. I hear Russia, but not Honduras.
Honduras is big. So on March 8th, so just a few weeks ago, the former president of Honduras was convicted of cartel-level drug smuggling in a court in Southern District of New York. That case was brought after Joe Biden arrested him and extradited him to the United States. But that guy, his name is Juan Orlando Hernandez, in 2014 was Joe Biden's best friend. And he was smuggling drugs then into the United States with the Sinaloa cartel. And Joe Biden knew it because the DEA had electronic surveillance on Juan Orlando Hernandez's brother, a guy named Tony Hernandez, saying, yeah, we're going to smuggle drugs in and the government is going to help us. And who stopped all that was President Trump. When President Trump came in 2017, he changed the whole process of the immigration, the lax border security. It uprooted the whole process they had down there with this sort of Joe Biden set up something in 2014 called the Alliance for Prosperity. From 2014 to 2016, he gave $500 million to these drug smugglers in Honduras. the guy, Juan Orlando Hernandez, who is going to prison now. He gave him $500 million for what?
So,
the cartels. He knew it.
I've got 1 minute. Won't Juan Hernandez, won't he sing like a bird?
No, because Joe Biden has presidential pardon capability. So he's staying quiet.
Oh, okay. Wow. So fascinating. So you need to write another book. The book is The Case to Impeach and Imprison Joe Biden. Follow Mike on X at Joe Unauthorized. Fascinating. I love talking to you. It's amazing. And I can't imagine how frustrating it is to not have the government really be interested in this enough to get back to you. It's unbelievable. Well, hopefully we can get the word out and people can educate themselves. And maybe hopefully somewhere along the line, there's a politician who will hear this, who will say, yeah, maybe we should talk to this guy. So, Michael McCormick, thank you so much for joining us. And I hope you have a great rest of your week.
Thanks, Mary. It was a great talk.
Absolutely. All right. Let's go. Coming up next, Liz Peek will be joining us. She's a Fox News contributor, a columnist for Fox News and The Hill. We're going to talk to her about the Biden administration policies and their effect on us, the little people, where we've talked about inflation and we've talked about how, you know, people can't pay mortgages. So they're trying to rent their homes or they're renting in order to save money to be able to buy a house someday. But the houses are getting more expensive because people aren't moving out of them. Right. Because people who want to downsize are looking at the at the cost of renting, and they're like, wait, I'm not going to do that. So, and plus, they're bringing in all these people illegally. They need someplace to live, too. And also, Biden's strategy to keep the White House, how he's going to do it, because they don't seem too concerned about much, which is very interesting to me. That's all coming up with Liz Peek here on the Todd Stern Show. And welcome back to the Todd Starnes Show at Liberty University Studios. I am Mary Walter. Hey, Mike Lindell has a passion to help you get the best sleep of your life. After he invented the world's best pillow, he created the famous Giza Dream Sheets. They're the best sheets you will ever sleep on. Now, for a limited time, you get a queen size set for $59.98, king size just $69.98. This is the lowest prices in history. Mike and MyPillow continue to be canceled by the big box stores, and he's attacked by the media all the time. So they appreciate all of your great support during these times, and they want to thank you by giving you free shipping on your entire order today. To get these specials, go to MyPillow.com or call 800-839-8506 and use the promo code STARNS. You get the famous Giza Dream Sheets, queen size for $59.98 and king size for just $69.98. You'll also get 60% off the original My Slippers. I love those slippers. So call 800-839-8506 or go to MyPillow.com, promo code STARNS for free shipping today. All right, my next guest is Liz Peek. She's a Fox News contributor, columnist for Fox News and The Hill. Find her on X at Liz Peek. But right now, she's with us on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker Hotline. Liz, thank you for joining me on the Todd Stern Show.
Hey, thanks for having me. I'm delighted.
Of course, you know, I love speaking with Liz because she's so smart. She can talk about anything. It's amazing. And she's so well-informed that I love our conversations. So one of the things that we're talking about today is a piece that you had have written for Fox called Joe Biden Doesn't Care If His Policies Hurt the Average Joe. And earlier in the show, we were talking about a new study out from Redfin that notes that there is an uptick in Americans who are selling things to keep the roof over their head, right? So they're selling items, they're going without food, they're not eating as much in order to pay the rent or pay the mortgage. And so my question to you is, how is this, first of all, not really big news? And how come the Biden administration keeps insisting to us that this is a good economy, despite the fact that some people are not eating?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think we have a two-tier economy, just like we have a two-tier justice system right now, Mary. The top tier is doing just fine because the stock market is up and bonds are up and people are making a lot of money who are investors. The investor class, if you will, is doing fine. But the lower half of the income spectrum in America right now is struggling. There's no question about it. And you can see it in the fact that wages for low-income Americans are going down, not up. The fact that credit card borrowings went up 15% year over year in the fourth quarter, which doesn't sound like a lot, but when I tell you delinquencies were up 50% last year, that's a pretty stunning number. And just consider that no one is going to borrow against their credit card unless they absolutely have to. Rates on credit cards are as high as 25%. I was going to use the word usurious, but I mean, they're really hefty. And if you get behind, they're just eating you alive. So nobody's going to do that unless they're really having trouble, as you say, keeping the lights on. So why is this happening? Joe Biden keeps telling us the job market is great. Well, the job market has been strong. There's no question. Unemployment is still below 4%. We've been adding jobs every month. But I think what has become increasingly obvious is that a lot of the hiring, number one, is part-time. The number of part-time workers is up substantially over year. The number of full-time employees is down. Why does that matter? Because it feeds into the next assumption, which is that a lot of the hires are people who are in the country illegally. We know that those people are counted by the Bureau of Labor Statistics. It isn't like they're totally in the shadows. They are working. They are getting jobs. And from what I can see, we don't know the split. We know that the vast majority of hiring in the last year or two has been foreign-born workers. We don't know how much of that is people in the country illegally. But what we can pretty much obviously see is that all that part-time, low-income additions, workers coming into the workforce have driven down the bottom-end wages. So if you're a young Right. person just starting out in construction or retail or whatever, and you have kind of a low-level entry job, you are now facing competition from a lot of folks who were not in the country 5 years ago. So it's interesting. Today, one of my colleagues sort of tweeted out that, you know, there's a conspiracy theory that Joe Biden has purposely left the gate open to all these people coming in the country illegally because it has kept wages down. So I don't think that's a conspiracy. I think that makes sense. I think there are two reasons that Joe Biden has left the gate open and welcomed people streaming in our country illegally, even though it's cost him at the polls, cost him at the in approval polls, at least. One is you have a lot of blue cities and states that have been so mismanaged that people are leaving in droves. I cite my own city, New York, as an example. New York mm-hmm. State has lost an enormous number of residents, so with California. And you would think that local politicians be pretty scared about that because ultimately it means you have fewer seats in Congress. But guess what? They don't lose seats in Congress because those people right. who are paying taxes and working in New York, California, and elsewhere are being replaced by illegals and or immigrants or people who are here illegally. And guess what? They are counted and they right. count in the census, which I think is dead wrong. I hope that is something that President Trump addresses when he gets into office ASAP. I think it's a tremendous problem. But I was going to say, and forgive me for going on so long, the other reason that it makes sense for Joe Biden to welcome in a lot of people who are in the country illegally is that his big union push, which, you know, showed up in the way the UAW bargained and Delta Airline pilots and a whole bunch of other unions, has meant that wages have gone up. And then you have states like California demanding more and more higher and higher, right. I should say, minimum wage. So that pressure upward on wages has somewhat been offset by people who don't have working papers, undocumented people. So in some way, Joe is being rewarded for that. So I hope that answers the question. I'm sorry to go on such length, but it's complicated.
Yes. NBC, though, just came out with a poll that shows for the 2024 presidential election among voters ages 18 to 29, Trump at 58%, Biden at 40%, despite all of his defiance of the Supreme Court in order to buy votes from the young people.
Yeah. So why is that? Well, you know, and I know that young people have been taught that Israel is an oppressor nation. They've been pretty indoctrinated to think that the Palestinian people are the oppressed people, and that they're calling Joe Biden Genocide Joe. It's going to be really interesting, Mary, to see in November how much of that energy overwhelms the abortion issue, which has been out there for some time and which has driven young people to the polls, will drive people, I think, to the polls again in states like Arizona and Nevada, where it's going to be on the ballot. But young people, yeah. I think, by the way, getting away from those very contentious issues of Israel and abortion, there's also the fact that if you're a young person right now, getting married, setting up a household, you can't afford a car. You can't afford a house. I mean, housing is as unaffordable as it has been. You know, there are indices that show how unaffordable housing is. It's like 40 years. It's horrible right now. So yeah. I think when we've had young people on various TV programs, you know, we say to them, well, why are you so anti-Joe Biden? And that is the answer that comes up pretty frequently.
Yeah, it is so interesting. But you also talk about a plan that Joe Biden has to maintain control of the White House despite all of this. And I will say, and we'll get to it just on the other side of this break, because I wanted to talk about both of these things with you. So we'll cut here, and I'll give you more time to talk about it, just so the audience knows. I have said for a while, Democrats are awfully confident in Joe Biden's ability to win this. And they don't really seem to be concerned about anything. They don't care about the ratings on the borders. They haven't tried to do anything to shut the border down. They don't care about Joe defying the Supreme Court to try to buy votes. Nothing seems to really bother them about any of this. They're way too confident. So I think shenanigans are afoot. And that's what we're going to talk about next with Liz Peek here on The Todd Stern Show. I'm Mary Walter. We're back here on the Todd Starnes Show. We're here with Liz Peek, Fox News contributor, columnist for Fox News and The Hill on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker Hotline. Find her on X at Liz Peek. That's easy, P-E-E-K. So we're talking about a piece that you just wrote, and you can find it in Fox News under Opinion, about Biden's stealth but clever strategy to maintain control of the White House. And you quote Claudia Tenney in this. She was on with Larry Kudlow. And she said, Democrats will do anything and everything to make sure that Biden is reelected. We know that. But it's not just the Democrats, is it?
Well, I got to tell you, I think this is a pretty horrifying story. And Claudia mentioned this executive order that Joe Biden passed in March of 2021. You know, and I mean, frankly, I wasn't paying that much attention. I was more focused on his energy moves and various things. But what this executive order demands, it's not a request, it's a demand, is that every single federal agency basically instruct their employees to go out and register voters. So you can be in the Small Business Administration, supposedly helping small business get loans or whatever. But really now what your job is, and they demanded a report from every agency within a year explaining how you're going to make this happen. Really what you're supposed to do is you go out, you instruct people how to fill out early voting, requests for absentee ballots, early voting, et cetera. You can help them fill them out. That's actually specified in this thing. In other words, tell me that is going to preclude 3 million federal employees from also helping people fill out the ballots and collecting the ballots and taking the ballots and dropping them in a drop box. I mean, this is an unconscionable weaponization of the federal government. And I've never heard anything like it. I think everybody is shocked. And so maybe people haven't focused on it that much. And there is something called the Hatch Act, which prohibits political activity by federal employees, but it turns out that's only if you're wearing a uniform or you're on the job. So if you work 10 to 5, I don't think many people work longer hours than that, at 5:01, you could be deployed or asked nicely to go and start the voter registration thing. And to give you some idea of the impact of this, remember that Joe Biden won by 42,000 votes. That there's a group of left-wing organizations that have been promoting this, including the ACLU and sort of all the usual suspects. They are saying if this is carried out, they could add 3 million voters. So, all right, so someone should say on the other side of the fence, well, don't you think it's good if everybody votes? Yeah, but that's not what they're going to do. They're going to go to the inner cities. They're going to go to, they'll go to organizations like Medicaid, which are in touch with people, needy people who are typically Democrat voters. In other words, it'll be just like Zuckerbucks. It'll be targeted to drive Biden voters. To me, this is pretty amazing.
Yeah, and we're paying for it. And so I would assume since most of the people who work in our federal government are, you know, diehard far lefties, they're more than happy at 5 o'clock to go out for the cause to get Joe Biden elected, because they're preserving democracy and they're little social justice warriors. So they're probably more than happy to go out for a couple of hours at night and, you know, after their job to go do this. Although I will say, they're the younger generation. They're like, if you're not paying me, I'm not doing any extra work. Like, they're done. They're just not doing it. It's going to be interesting to see.
I mean, my guess is that this whole issue of the Hatch Act is not going to be particularly important, that they're going to do what they want to do. They're going to tell their workers to go do this. And, you know, I don't know, Mary, how we're going to stop it.
Well, again, this is my big complaint. I was speaking with Jake Novak earlier in the show, and he and I are of the same mind that Republicans are reactive and Democrats are proactive. Democrats are always planning ahead. So they knew that they couldn't do everything that they did the last time. They knew that Republicans would react to the ballot harvesting. They knew that Republicans would react to the ballot drops, you know, and all of that. So they're like, okay, so we got to get around that. So what do we do? And so they put this in motion a while ago. This has been in the works for probably since Biden got elected.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, the EO went out in March 2021. So a year later, every agency was tasked with having a plan. Now they have the plan. I was sort of struck by one agency, the EEOC, the Employment Equal Opportunity Group. They put out a pretty terse statement saying, kind of within the bounds of the Hatch Act, we'll be happy to fulfill our obligations. But it sounded to me like, you know, not every public employee was on board with this, because guess what? They know, some of them at least, have an idea that this might be illegal and that they could get into trouble for doing it. So anyway, I think you're right that the Republicans are more reactive. I do think that this Trump campaign is better than it's ever been. That's what I'm hearing. And, you know, Democrats, I think there was an article in Vanity Fair about Democrats are horrified by the, I think the words were, terrifyingly efficient Trump campaign. Well, boy, I tell you what, it is going to have to be terrifyingly efficient. And if we win, and by the way, nothing you or I or anybody should say should dissuade people from voting. I don't care how disaffected you are from our government and our politics. You got to go vote for Donald Trump in November, because he's the guy. That's it. It's Trump or Biden. And that choice, I think, is crystal clear. If you want to, you know, if you want our country to survive as it has been, that is the choice, to vote for Trump. And we're going to have a landslide turnout to get rid of Joe Biden.
Yeah, it's going to have to be so much that they can't have these ballots
coming in
for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks without a lot of people standing up and being against it. Liz Peek, thank you, my friend. As always, it is wonderful to get to speak with you. Find her on X at Liz Peek, P-E-E-K. You could also find her at The Hill and Fox News. Thank you so much. Have a great week.
Thank you very much, Mary. Take care.
I just want to very also quickly, I have like a minute here, just some breaking news here. We didn't get to it, but the first parents to ever be charged and then convicted when their child went on a mass shooting at a U.S. school were both sentenced to 10 to 15 years in prison earlier today in a Michigan courtroom. James Crumbly, 47, and his wife Jennifer, 46, were sentenced one after the other as they appeared together for the first time. Their son, Ethan, is now 17, pleaded guilty as an adult to the 2021 shooting at Oxford High School in suburban Detroit. He was sentenced to life in prison. So this is the first time. This is a precedent of parents being held responsible for when their kids go off the rails and do things like this. So discuss among yourselves, because we didn't get a chance to do it here. Dylan, Grace, and Lydia, thank you so much. I appreciate it. I'm Mary Walter. It's been a pleasure being with you. Again, follow me on X at Mary Walter Radio and look for my podcast on YouTube tonight, 7:15 p.m., Mary Walter Radio. Have a great night.